Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, everybody. It is the final day of Shift and Steer live here on the MagnaFlow stage. We've been here all week. We've had so many great guests. Aaron, I mean, just when you think of all the guests we've had, it's been fantastic and such a great variety of people.
Yeah, very much so. And some we haven't had in the past. I mean, a lot of these shows, you kind of have the same old, you know, like Larry Dixon kind of people. And then, what?
What do you mean, same old people?
Same old.
No, but I mean, we've had everybody, Larry, we've had Christy Lee on, we've had Freiberger on, we have had...
The Invisible Man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Roger from Kicker Audio, we've had... Help me out here, Aaron. Who am I forgetting? Because
I've already forgotten.
I know because it's been a long week. Most important is that this morning we have Larry Dixon, three-time Top Fuel champion, and a good friend of mine who also is the owner and driver of the Nitro Times 2. I mean, the only dragster, Top Fuel dragster in the world where you can ride along with him. But more importantly, you can be safe and sound knowing that you're riding with a three-time Top Fuel champion.
So you can pay to have your mother-in-law as a passenger.
Yeah.
wait a minute. I'm going along for the ride, though.
So Larry, first question. How fast? You've done this now. How fast? What's your fastest run with a passenger?
Well, we only run... Insurance gets involved.
Okay.
So they'll only let us run to the eighth mile. But with that, though, it's we take the drivetrain out of our conventional Top Fuel car and drop it right in the two-seater. And it goes in the eighth mile. It runs low three-second ETs. Wow. And gets up to... last month, we ran up in Martin, Michigan, went 259 mile an hour.
Only. So it's they're limited to this. So, yeah,
that's enough to scare your mother.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because I know a couple of the guys over at Honda, and they sponsor the two-seat IndyCar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
IndyCar experience. And they've been real great friends helping me with the insurance, waivers, releases, all the business end side of that.
But
I walked over there, and I said, hey, you know, like your ads where you say you got the fastest ride in motorsport, and they're like, what are you going to do? Sue us because you got... I said, no, I want you to sponsor this car. Then you will have the fastest ride in motorsport.
Exactly.
Yeah. So cool, man.
Hey, Matt, the Motorator, just jumped on the mic. What'd you have, Uber problems?
Yeah, it's Vegas. It's
I know,
Uber
it's Uber, and, man.
You know, you wait 15 minutes, and he's like... I'm at the Vidara. I was like, I'm not even staying there. Good for you. It's a beautiful hotel. Enjoy it while you're there.
You should have called. I am the world's fastest Uber driver.
I heard this.
Yeah. Well, I've gotten 5-star ratings with my car.
You know, Larry, a great promotion would have been if you would have made arrangements to do a like a Top Fuel run or a burnout just in front of the convention center here.
It could still happen. Maybe not this year.
Maybe next year.
It'll happen.
I'll ride with you.
Right, and China drove his couch down the strip. You should you should race the couch.
His couch drops out at 80 miles per hour. Yeah.
That's scary. 85. That's 85. Scary, actually. Yeah, that's really scarier than going in the Top Fuel Dragster.
His wife said, I won't go over 50. That's my max.
Now, Larry, how many runs have you made with a passenger today?
The car just got put together in 2017, and we don't run it all the time. So we've made 15 runs with the car with a passenger in it.
And tell me about the experience, because it's not just hop in, zoom down the track. I mean, we get to do the burnout. We get to do the everything.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of the people, the ones that are really hardcore in it, they hang out in the pit when they're prepping the car and warming it up. And, you know, and you're still servicing the engine between rounds just like a real Top Fuel car, because it is a real Top Fuel car. It's got different levels of experience. But, you know, normally we run in conjunction with, different events. I've gone to Pro Mod shows and Super Chevy shows and Nostalgia Nitro shows. And regardless of what's on the track, at every event that we've gone to, we have been the quickest and fastest car on the grounds with a passenger in it. So it's it makes for good bragging rights. For the rider, it's like, you know, we went and did one show in Eddyville, Iowa, you know, where the track brought us in, and they gave away a ride to a spectator. And so the husband and wife, they signed themselves, the husband signed them up, the wife won, and the guy was mad because he wanted the ride, and the wife wouldn't give it up. She's like, no, I'm going for the ride. So, and then we took her down the track, and she went quicker and faster. And there was jet cars there, Nitro funny cars, Top Fuel cars. And we went quicker and faster than everybody else. And I told her, I'm like, you're the quickest one here. And she just thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Now, real quick, too. I know you've told us before, but for our listeners today, does the passenger ride in the front or the back?
I was thinking that, too. They got to be in the back, right?
Again, insurance got involved. I wanted the passenger up front to really get that view. But insurance wanted them in the back. So, But the way that
insurance didn't want him in the car at all.
Yeah, insurance wanted him in the bleachers.
Insurance wants me to pay for that policy. So they're way good with it.
I remember when we were going over the first drawings and doing the graphics with you and stuff, and it was funny because I thought, being in the front, I don't know. Can he see around?
Yeah, I know.
The
I don't
can
know.
He see, you know?
With
but,
no steering wheel.
But he was really confident in that. We really wanted that. But now, I want to get into something else about this because really where you're doing, this isn't like an amusement park ride. This is a corporate tool.
For sure.
And that's different than being a corporate tool. And no, this is
literally.
Yeah,
right? Is that what you're trying to say?
Because we know a lot of corporate jewels, but tell us about how companies can utilize Nitro times two Dragster in their marketing and their promotions.
Well, similar to what I did here a couple years ago when we debuted the car with Traxxas, you know, they ran a year-long contest, where you sign up to win. And that really helps vendors, you know, and companies collect data. And there's an incentive to sign up and give your name and address and all your information because you have a chance at, riding in a real top fuel car. So we've been doing a lot of that. That's what I've been working on this weekend. And it's just... just getting with different companies that would be a right fit. I mean, it's definitely, it grabs everybody's attention just in the fact that, you know, when we post stuff on YouTube, I mean, it's 5 million views.
Oh, it's gotta be.
Yeah. And it's, versus some of the stuff that I've done in the traditional top fuel car, you know, you'll get 2 million views, but this car, it grabs people's attention. I mean, they want to click on and watch and do all that. So it's cool. And no different than, with Mario Andretti taking you around the track, you know, in a two seater, I'm not Mario Andretti, but in NHRA, you got a 3-time top fuel champion, wheeling you down the racetrack.
I think Mario spun out the tandem car at Indy
a few times. Yeah.
So next question is when can we play?
when do you want to play?
After the show,
Monday.
He'll take your check and schedule you in, man.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Now, Larry.
We could do a Cabo Wabo corporate event or something, maybe.
I'm in for that.
It's so funny because I keep asking people, it's like, why is it that all forms of motorsports are sponsored by some form of alcohol?
Yeah, I was going to say something about that. But
check this out. It's even better because it's like, I can be the designated driver.
Exactly.
I'm the designated driver.
I'm sure you guys touch on this at the beginning, but how fast do you run in the tandem car? When somebody goes for a ride, this isn't a toned down version of the car.
There isn't anything Disneyland about this car. It's a real top fuel car. So we run in the eighth mile with it, and it runs low 3-second ETs at 200, just under 260 mile an hour with it.
Right, Matt?
Yeah.
Right?
It's fantastic. Yeah. Now, do you think you're going to be able to grow this program to do the 1,000-foot or the full quarter mile? I'm sure insurance is blowing their mind about the whole thing, and that's why.
Well, but they're not blowing their minds. They set the rules up saying eighth mile, don't race against anybody, and you sit in the front.
Oh, but we're in Vegas. You could run 4 tandem cars 4 wide.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing.
The
and you could play dodgeball at the same time.
If there was actually 4 two-seater top fuel cars, maybe mine could fly under the radar.
So, Larry, when you're not wanting to go that fast, we know that you have your Chevy 2. You just were telling me backstage that, and I had seen it online, that at Drag Week, you hit a milestone in your Chevy 2.
Yeah, broke into the nines with my Chevy 2, which is my, I've had this car literally since right out of high school. You know, it's 66 Chevy 2. It was an original 327 four-speed car. I bought it Les Motor and Trans back when you could get cars really, really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, right out of high school for me, that was a really long time ago. So I bought it for $800. I put a motor and trans in it, and not that anybody ever street raced, but if I did, that's what I would have done way back then.
Yeah.
But then I kept the car the whole time. I ended up going to work for Dom Perdome. Really didn't think that I was going to be doing that type of work for very long. Well, I worked for Perdome for 20 years. But I kept the car, and I never finished the car, so I never got rid of the car, so it was always just an unfinished product. So, the last few years, I've had a little bit more time, and worked with GM and did a total build with it, a drivetrain build with it, put an LT4 in it, and so now the car
engine.
NASCAR Hall's ass. It runs in the nines and gets 22 miles to the gallon.
Oh, man.
I can drive coast to coast in it.
With technology today, you can do that. Speaking of projects, yeah. less motor and trans, Brad's the king of that.
He's got motors. Hey, he's got motors.
Here's what I want to know, Larry. For you, the first time I went, you know, sub nine or nines, I was like, wow, man, you know, but for you, is it like, oh yeah, man, I'm just going to nines, you know, it's easy.
Well, when I went from a 9.5-inch drag radial and had wheel ventiques, I had to make a rally wheel for it. They didn't help me with it, but I'm still stoked that they did it. But where I can get
What do you mean I'm the king of that?
I got a 10.5-inch drag radial on it, and I went to the track with it, and I left the starting line, and then I like hear this clunk clunk like that. I'm like, oh crap! It lifted the wheels. That's awesome. <Yeah. laughs> And then I got pictures of it and stuff, and it launched, and it was like, wow, it's cool. But that's like part of the family. Like, it's so, I have as much fun with that car as I do like going 335 mile an hour down a racetrack in a traditional top fuel car, or giving somebody a ride for the first time in a top fuel car. That Chevy too. It's again, it's just part of the family, and it's just having a ball. I just signed up. The Summit is putting on it's what's called the Midwest Drags. It's being held next June. It's a 4-day event similar to Drag Week. And after 4 days of racing, and you drive your race car to all the events, if you turn in your time slips, all 10, 15 under, they have a 67 Chevy 2 over here.
Yeah.
They're giving away a Chevy 2, so you can be in the running if you turn in those time slips. So I signed up, and I want, you know, I'd like a Chevy 2. That car is really, really nice. So that's kind of like what we're doing right now.
Now, Larry, I know you said you've got a hard 11:30 and we're going to lose you. We could talk forever, but yeah. I know there's something you wanted to get in. Tell us about the brakes program you're doing with Doug Herbert. But before you do that, it's the holiday season, everybody. And if you need chocolates, where should they buy chocolates?
Look at you.
Made from truck rubber.
Yeah, plug in my wife's store. Yeah, just about a year and a half ago, she opened up a chocolate store in...
How am I just learning about
this?
Yeah,
see?
Really.
You should invite me on the show more often, and you would know that.
And Larry,
yeah, Brad.
And Larry puts some. Larry puts some.
I felt that.
Larry stuffs them in the top fueler when he takes people, so that he can market them as the world's fastest chocolates.
Right.
Or did I just make that up?
Yeah, you flip the visor up, and I got my son on the guardrail, like tossing, you try and catch him as you drive by.
You keep in your pocket so they flatten out. Yeah,
where's the store? Can we mail order chocolates?
It's actually in Plainfield, Indiana, which is right by the airport. If anybody's in town for PRI, it's like really close. It's at an outdoor mall. It's called Chocolade, and it's not even a chocolate store. It's a factory, because the only thing that gets shipped in is the chocolate itself, and then you melt it down, and then you either mold it, dip it, whatever the case. And it's
cool.
Yeah, shoving a ball with it. So she's got her own website with it.
Yeah, I'm all in. Yeah. I might actually go to Indy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I try to get rid of all the blems, if there are any.
Yeah. So,
which usually there isn't, because you just put them right back in the melter again.
Yeah, right. There was too much nougat in that one.
And like Matt asked, does Allie have a mail order program?
She does. Yeah, we do shipping, especially during the holidays. You know, there's a lot of corporate stuff that goes on because you can print logos and stuff on it, and edible, so yeah, you can have Shift and Steer or Magna.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Magna Flow.
How many little tiny
like
dragsters
that?
Do you think you've eaten at this point? Little chocolate dragsters.
I'm partial to the dark chocolate.
Yeah.
So am I. He actually makes molds them as little Wallies and then bites the heads off. You know?
Do you have any that look like a human ear?
So before we lose you, tell us about the Doug Herbert Brakes program you're involved in.
Just this summer, and it was through my daughter wanting to go through the course. It's Doug Herbert that used to race Top Fuel. In 2008, he tragically lost his sons in a street crash, you know, just from reckless driving. Ended up getting in a collision. So his two sons, and he didn't want anybody else to go get that phone call or any of the classmates. So he started a advanced teen defensive driving course that he literally takes from coast to coast. And my son went through it a couple of years ago. And then my daughter wanted to. And I've known Doug since high school. And we got talking about it after signing her up. And it's free to families, which is the other thing that's awesome. But I'm a driving instructor there now. So it's like I'm literally leaving today, flying to Nashville to do a course this weekend there. Neat. Next weekend, when everybody, the NHRA guys are in Pomona, I'll be down south, down in San Diego at San Marcos doing another class. So
that's great.
It's going to be fun.
Doug told me that he had to kind of break him from leaving from the lights hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said, Larry, this is about safe driving, not how fast you can leave the light.
Well, you got to go really fast so they can test the ABS systems in the car. So, that's my leverage on it. But no, it's the instructors that come in, and there's normally like 25 that literally come in, and they either have a racing, stunt, secret service, or law enforcement background.
Wow.
It's free to families. Like I said, you got to be 15 to 19. And if you want to look at it for your teen, because it could save their lives or somebody else's, go to putonthebrakes.org.
Oh, and great. Where can they find out more about your Nitro Times 2 online?
I have a website, LarryDixon.com, or social media. I don't have this big conglomerate taking care of it. I'm the guy. So Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, and that kind of stuff is Dixon Top Fuel.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's everybody, did you have a question? Before you go,
let's see the ring.
The ring.
Look at that thing.
The
ring. Look at that thing.
I tell people, you shows like this, you kind of put it on, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't. My arm candy's dipping chocolate 3,000 miles away, so this is it. You know,
you need to make a chocolate version of that. Sell championship rings.
Three of them, right?
Championship rings.
Yep, three of them far. Yeah, I tell people that's a report card on a racing season.
Oh, man, that's right. If you see me show, I'd be walking around like Liberace wearing all the rings you have.
The other night. You were looking like him anyway.
What's funny talking about that, you see somebody like Richard Petty, which, you know, he's been here all week and stuff like that. How about him if he wore all his rings?
Oh,
right?
Fingers and toes.
There you go.
Years ago, Larry and I were up in the skybox at Barrett Jackson with Ari Leyendijk.
Yeah.
And I had the unique opportunity to wear both of Ari's Indianapolis championship rings and Larry's. And I've got this photo where I'm going, and it's like, you remember that?
Oh,
it was over the top.
Yeah.
You did it too, because it was like, hey, man, if you can get all that gold and winnings on your fingers.
It's funny about Barrett
Jackson. He looked like a white rapper.
Mr. B.
Similar thing happened a few years ago. Larry had a couple cocktails at the Skybox at Barrett Jackson. I convinced him to let me wear the ring. And then he wised up and he's like, that's enough. Earn your own.
Earn them.
Before I had too many cocktails.
So. So, Larry, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I know you've been busy. Good friend of ours here at the show. He's been on a number of times. Go back, listen to other episodes. You can hear all about what he's done in the past, what he's doing in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, man, talk a lot.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on the show and letting people know what's going on. So thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks, Larry Dixon, three-time Top Fuel champion, right here at Shift and Stare. And thanks again to our friends at MagnaFlow for having the stage so that we could do this, because we're going to continue right now because we have somebody that is really special. Thanks, Larry. Teresa Contreras, and she's got a big grin on her face because
I get this.
She's been,
Teresa,
I know you did,
for like 100 reasons. And that's why I have a big grin.
I mean, no, it's because you've been getting all these awards and accolades, and you're here with your dad and your sister Sarah.
There they are.
And
but listen, nobody, especially leading up the SEMA. Nobody works harder than Teresa and her family and her team.
And you know what I do?
The hours you guys put
Thank
in for
that.
Stuff is going to be nuts.
It is a little crazy. I'm not going to lie.
So
it's in the
little
millions.
Background to
it's
those that don't know. Yeah. Tell them what you do.
So I'm a designer and a custom painter, but at our shop, LGE CTS Motorsports, we build cars and trucks. And SEMA show is like pretty much one of our biggest, I guess, shows that we build things for. So
how many customers do you have here?
So we have 12 cars that are here at the show, but one of our main cars that we have here at the show is the one for Jay Leno, the 1968 Ford Bronco.
Oh, you name dropper.
Beautiful. Oh, hey, that's okay. I could
this time, so yeah.
She's earned it.
Yeah, and I think there was a big award associated with that.
So,
yeah.
We actually got an award for Super Duty that we have in the Ford booth as well, and we got a design award for that.
All right. Yeah. Congratulations. Multiple awards. Yeah. Even better.
Yeah. Wow. And we just heard we got a Pro Eagle Jack Award, too. I keep talking about it. It's kind of cool.
last week, I was here in Vegas, got a chance to drive the new Shelby GT500s.
Oh.
And we hit the road course, did the drag strip. But that car only comes with the 7-speed paddle shift, the DCT transmission.
Yep.
I don't know how Leno pulled it off. Maybe he knows somebody. Maybe you know somebody.
Oh.
But the Bronco you guys built has the GT500 engine in it, but with a 5-speed manual.
Gee, I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, right? There was a lot of people on the phone to make that happen.
Yeah.
There was a lot of phone calls of Ford Performance. They were amazing. Their team was amazing. Kinzer Chassis, they had built the chassis and really helped, get that power plant on there and everything like that and marry it to that Tremec transmission, that manual, and it's pretty badass.
I posted photos of it, of the Bronco.
760 horsepower on that short wheelbase.
That's a lot of Broncos.
That's what everybody's comment was. I posted it on social media, and they're like, that engine's going to tear that thing in half. I said, no, you got to understand, like, read a little bit more about the build. Hear what went into it. Hear about the custom chassis. And
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk on you there. Good. Teresa, I want to know, what was your part? Tell everybody what your part of the build was and what you guys did to help make that thing come to reality.
Yeah, so what it was is that Ford and SEMA actually came to us about the build and saying, like, hey, you guys want to build a Bronco in 3 months? First of all, they said,
notorious
they said it's just the word Bronco, so I said yes to the word Bronco, but then it was like 3 months, like, I'm sorry, what? And it's a 1968, what? So the story kind of started from there, and then it went into like, oh, by the way, we're going to put this new power plant. Oh, by the way, this is going to happen. Oh, by the way, and we're like, oh, wow, this is getting more difficult as it keeps going. But basically, it was a vehicle that Craig Ferguson actually gave Jay on his last day of the Tonight Show.
Yeah, the story is
kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
And he literally like left a note and was like, here you go. Here's a piece of shit to work on. You know,
it was totally trash, right?
Yeah.
It was like a rust bucket, had to be towed in.
And it was.
Last day of the
Danny
Tonight
Bonaducci
Show.
Owned it before. He found it at like this, a used car lot down the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone's kind of like, oh, it's been like bastardized kind of thing. You know, there's flares on it. Had a little lift kit. Like all these things had been done to it.
Rust.
Well, of course, it's a 50-year-old car, you know.
Craig Ferguson parked it in Leno's spot. At NBC lot.
Yeah.
And so when he came in the morning, that hunk of garbage was in a spot.
Yeah. He tried to find the most decrepit.
Since this is your last day, you're going to be bored. Here's something for you to play around with.
Exactly.
And he actually sat on it for years.
He did. Until he heard
about
this.
Where would he store it? He doesn't have any storage room.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It was like back in the corner. We're like, where are we going? It's like, it was literally sitting in some back corner, you know, inside his garage and stuff.
You guys had a go to Jay's garage and drag it out of there?
Yes, we did. Yeah. So that was
isn't
fun.
That amazing place?
Gosh.
It's just magic.
It is.
He keeps adding
fully,
to it, by the way.
Fully.
Do you guys know? Now, Teresa was on Car Warriors with me along with her dad. And when Louie and Teresa are on there, now, do you remember where we filmed it?
Yeah.
So did we ever bring you over to the studios for any sound afterwards or anything?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
it's
right around the corner from Jay's.
Yeah.
And that was when he just had that corner, and he's renovating the corner.
Oh, right.
And now he keeps buying building after building.
That's what everyone says.
He's got the whole damn block.
It's a motorcycle.
It's amazing.
Bro motorcycles?
Yeah.
There's a BRO.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole room
dedicated to
him.
He added a whole room to it. I was there when he was building it, and he's like,
someone actually told me how much those were worth. I was like, oh, my God.
super expensive.
Amazing. Oh, wow. Just to be in that room, I'm like, this is just so rad.
Yeah.
So cool.
You walk down his mile of buildings, and he's like
mile and a half.
He's like, this wall here, we knocked it down. There was a little parking lot on the other side. He goes, but you can't park stuff outside, so I just He just built a room in there. Yeah. He built a motorcycle room in there. That's,
seriously.
You know, it's got to be 5,000 square feet.
It's amazing.
Just a little one in the corner.
Yeah, just a little one.
Is the little one.
For any of us, it'd be like, wow, this is a great shop.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, the little addition.
Yeah.
Hey, now, I mean, your shop is really a family operation.
Yes.
And you have a very unique, I mean, I've known you guys forever. And what's unique is you guys get along. There's a lot of shops.
Sometimes.
There's a lot of shops.
Brad, now come on. Don't tell stories, Brad.
We are always the rest of the family laughing.
I was like, I don't know how
you know. Do you know what illusion is? Now, come on. No, but what I'm getting at.
Smoke and mirrors.
What I'm getting at is that, Louis, your dad, I'm doing finger quotes, retired this year because Louis never retires. But did you have to drag him back in for this Bronco or did he just arm length and gone?
As much as we love him, we needed to do it on our own.
Good.
You know,
good.
So that was more of an us thing. And I think it was a little hard for him. But, you know, it was like something that we needed to prove to ourselves that we could do.
Sometimes
it,
you got to let the kids go on their own, you know?
You know, I think we're old enough now. I don't know.
I want to get a head shake, Louis, because Louis's standing out here. Was that like kids going away to college? Or was like, I just got to let them go. He's saying yes. Now he's saying no. Now he's saying yes.
Now he's crying. I'm confused.
I definitely don't think everything, like, you know, so Jay really wanted like a sleeper and all these things, and so we really like worked with like the ideas that he had and stuff. And it's funny because I think it would have been different if we would have built it with, you know, with our dad and stuff like that, and not in a bad way. It's just different, you know. And so we have a little bit different style and stuff that we bring to the table and in ways that we do it and stuff. And, you know, we learned our hard work ethic and everything else. We couldn't do any of this without, you know, our parents showing us how to do this, you know. So we definitely took all that and moved forward and stuff. Yeah. So it was
quickly
great.
Tell us about the Super Duty that you had in Ford. Did Ford invite you to build it, or you guys submitted a proposal and said, hey, we have an idea?
Yeah, so the Ford booth is like that. You can submit a proposal for any vehicle up there, and so that was one of the proposals we submitted.
Yeah,
so.
And it's a tough competition, Brad. You've done this several times.
I've done it a lot of times
in the past, and I've submitted several. None of them got submitted.
I was gonna say I've submitted lots of proposals, been accepted a few times, and been rejected
many times.
Well, that's because you guys are in the 80s and 90s. These are current builds.
Hey, pipe down over there,
dude.
What?
I don't know why they don't want those new Mustangs jacked up with air shocks. Something wrong there, man.
Tell us a little bit about that vehicle, because that's one you guys were able to come up with on your own and pitch and win.
Yeah, sure. So my thing is, like, I love to design and custom paint. And so on that, we actually did a Ranger last year I did this custom color in this green, and everyone absolutely loves that color. So I was like, I need to do that color again. So what we did is we built a chase truck for it. So on the chase truck, is it low? on the chase truck, we actually went ahead and, you know, put the same green on it. We actually have carbon fiber fenders. We have a utility body, but it's actually really modular on it. So there's just lots of different aspects to it. You know, people are like, oh, that thing's too nice to take out to the desert, you know, but I'm like, no, it's like us. We're like all about, you know, it has to look good and you have to be able to use it. It has
absolutely
to function, you know.
Now, you brought up the desert. We talked about all these trucks you're building for SEMA, but then there's the downtime. And I know that you and your family have committed to the lifestyle, committed to the fun.
Yeah.
And tell us about what you do when you're not at the shop.
Go fast.
I know, but I mean, you guys get dirty, you guys head out to your place in the desert, and you play with these trucks, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. So we're out in Johnson Valley, and it's just open desert out there. So it's literally like drive out in front of our, you know, own driveway and just take off. So yeah, it's so always great to get out, but yeah, you got to use them. Like, why are we building these things, right? They're to be used.
And
you know?
Personally have a Raptor, don't you?
I do. A super truck. So it's a 2011. But I still love that truck, man. It's supercharged. It has a 630 horsepower. It's awesome. Love it.
What about Sarah? What's she driving?
She drives a Jeep right now, but I don't know. It might change soon.
Yeah,
huh?
She's not paying attention.
She's smiling.
4x4 Prius.
She hears us talking about her.
Hey, I want to ask you one other thing, because, you know, I've done this horrible thing to her and her whole crew. A couple times, you know, SEMA's going crazy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, can you stop what you're doing?
Right?
So I can come over and
go ahead. You can rake me over the coals. They're in like the throes, and I mean, everybody's got big bags under their eyes, and they're like, and then I come walking in with.
But we always do it, right?
You do,
Brad?
And you do a great
job. You know, this industry is about friends, you know, in through and through. And so it's like when someone comes up and asks you, like, hey, can you do this? It's like, sure.
Can you throw this in?
No, I can't.
Can you put this in between your 24 hours of a day that you have, but you've been working 25 hours in that day?
Yeah. And so now I throw two more hours in and I say, no. I would go, hey, we're shooting a sizzle for a show. And I did it to him again this year, and they were so good. I had this new show, and I said, and you know, they know me now.
It's called Rust to Sema.
You could be on TV. You know, they go,
I know.
I want a bed and a nice cold Coke. That's all I want.
Seriously,
But they always come through. They always pull it off. This year,
with a smile on our face.
This year, Teresa and Sarah, they knocked it out of the park for me, and and I do want to thank you because you guys have always been great doing that, and don't ever say, no, we can't do it. And it's just like your builds. It's the same way, man. They've never said, we can't do it. Yep. It's, well, and let's figure out how to make it happen.
That's totally from our parents. It's like that's just been through and through. Like, okay, how do we do this, you know? It's not we can't do it. It's how do we do it, you know? So make it happen.
Somebody else that we haven't mentioned that really supports you so that you can do all of this is your husband, Jason.
I know, right? In the background, he's at the shop right now this week, and it was like the mad rush of SEMA, and then all of a sudden it's over, and he's like, okay, bring the other work in now, you know?
I thought it was time to clean the wave of everything.
Yeah. I know. Oh, gosh. I asked him Monday, I'm like, how's it going? He's like, it looks like a tornado went off. Yeah,
I'm still cleaning.
Shit everywhere. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I'm down to scrapers.
he's like you better be going out there and kicking ass this week. I'm like, yep, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm sure you're texting and calling and going, hey, here's an award. Yeah. So clean that place up so I can bring them home and then put them on the shelf where it's all clean and new.
It's been a pretty fantastic week.
I can imagine, Matt, that what they're doing, Aaron, you know this, they're walking around right now and her head's spinning, Sarah's head's spinning, and they're thinking, you know, we could do one of those next year.
Right? Oh, no. You come here, and that's what you're excited about, is what's next.
It's when you're driving here, and everything's just all your body. You're just like, oh, my God. And you're like, I'm never doing that again. Then you walk 2 feet in, right?
Yeah, that's
and you
a go, pretty good idea.
Oh, I'm building one of those, man.
Well, you know what? Life could be worse. You could be trying to clear coat carbon fiber. And as painters know, that is hell.
Which I did. Did you see those fenders? I have the candy overlay over the top of the carbon fiber?
No, because with the light, I just saw the candy. I didn't see there's carbon fiber.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
See,
so you've been there.
But see, I like everything very subtle like that. Oh, I've been there. I've been there.
Well, I wasn't wearing my glasses. That's a problem for me right now. I stopped painting.
I noticed that, too. I'm like across the way. I'm like, that person's looking at me. Do I know who that person is? It keeps happening. I know.
I don't see how you can see straight after all that.
I can't. That's my point. I can't see straight. Yeah,
whenever I paint, my wife goes, you've been painting, haven't you? I'm like, 4 seconds later, yeah.
That was good.
So, well, Teresa, congratulations on all the awards. And I know it's you're always the first person to say it's you and everybody that supports you. And it's a great team you have over there. Go ahead and plug your shop again and a website.
Yeah. So it's LGE-CTS.com. And you can find us on Instagram at LGE_CTS Motorsports.
And would there happen to be any photos of maybe those award winners on your Instagram yet?
Yeah. I hope so.
I haven't been
posting them, but hopefully our media team is.
Definitely bring your projects to Teresa, but in January.
Exactly. Give us like a month or two to sleep.
Unless you're shooting a sizzle.
Go through the holidays and if you want it for SEMA, it's SEMA 2021.
Yeah, because in May they start next year's SEMA project.
They've already started. Yeah. Oh my gosh. They've already started.
Right on. I bet.
Hey, thank you so much
for coming by.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Cool. Hey, this
how good
is
she is. She slipped and said us.
Us. Right? I know, right?
Such a good
girl.
Well,
it's like my family's all right here. Look at them.
There they are.
You know what's so cool about this, you guys, is that, you know, Teresa and her family and everything, thank you, is really what kind of just encapsulates what SEMA should be.
Yeah.
You know, it's about a team. It's about family. It's about creativity and being able to bring all that together. And then when you win the awards and people recognize how goddamn hard you've been working and being flexible, and that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
And now with how things have changed, I think just 5 years ago, it was, you know, we would talk about the builds and everything, and now with social media, with YouTube, social media, everything like that, we see the builds as they're happening
to
an extent, because you still got to have the debuts here. Mm-hmm. But that's why our next guest fits right in so great. Tavares, I mean, you're doing all kinds of stuff on YouTube, man.
Well, yeah, I try to. I mean, you know, that's kind of how you got to keep it going. But right now I have the Lamborghini from the last Fast and Furious movie, and that's at the Performance Pavilion, and that was my kind of big build for this year, and it was a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of people's hands in the project. My first, like, show car, and I don't really think it's for me. I'm usually, you know, the guy that, like, gets some driving, and then kind of, you know, if they're clean, they're clean, but I like a driver. This is, like, everything has to be immaculate because everyone's going to see it and everyone's judgmental. So, you know, it's a whole learning experience, but I think the car came out beautifully.
It's an interesting project. So, Freddie Hernandez, his very, very popular YouTube channel, Tavares, has grown leaps and bounds. We've known each other since before he even started it.
Yeah.
And worked on some projects together.
That's right, because you're techies, aren't you?
I did. No, I did some, editorial content.
Yeah,
and
with
stuff,
Jalopnik. Like, yeah, back
with Jalopnik.
Back
he was writing for them. And he lives out in Florida where he does all this stuff. So every once in a while when he gets out.
So you're freezing here.
No. So this is normal. This
is dry normal. And
yeah. Well, I'm not sweating through my shirt right now, which is good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching your show for a while. You've been busy painting, and the interior on this thing is nuts. All hand stitched, no computers. I mean, there's
a lot of details
immaculate.
On it. But
yeah, it's gorgeous.
He picked it up, I think, in L.A. And,
yeah, in Sun Valley. Yeah.
And he loaded it up on the trailer, then stopped by our shop on the way back.
Yeah. So you saw.
And we saw it. I was like, "What a hunk of shit!"
And it was.
Disaster. Oh yeah.
How many coats of paint?
Like,
did
there's
have on
movie cars?
Movie stuff.
11 layers of paint.
Yeah, there's movie cars, and then there's this because it's been so overused because you can't just keep getting more, you know, Lamborghinis. And
literally zip tied and duct taped. And screwed in.
Wood screws. Yeah. There's self tappers. Everywhere. Yeah,
so put through the ringer as an understatement.
And then some.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the YouTube channel and kind of what you're doing with it. I know the theme there is wrench every day.
Yes.
I feel like it's more like edit every day, but
it's more like just pull your hair out every day at this point.
Yeah. But you started in your garage at home and quickly grew to several projects in a warehouse. And you've got all kinds of things going on. And
yeah. So right now I'm in Central Florida. It started in my garage just in New Jersey, where I did work in my parents' driveway. And then I bought a house in Florida. And then I had a 2-car garage there. I got a lift, so it became sort of a 3-car garage.
Yeah.
You know, if I could fit everything in. And then that turned into a 5,200 square foot shop that now is getting filled up.
It's getting full.
Yeah, so now you go to the triple decker lift.
I can't fit any more cars in there, so yeah.
So there's a few cars that stand out that we've been following. One, of course, is the Lamborghini. Because like you said, that one was more of a real restoration. A few mods and stuff. And that you had to do to it, and it was going to come here to the SEMA show, but you have a Ferrari that was burnt to the ground. He didn't burn it to the ground. He bought the shittiest Ferrari he could find.
No, I got it pre-cooked. Yeah,
yeah.
I have a '95 Ferrari F355, and that Ferrari is weird because it has a it's a dealer recall that all you have to do is turn one of the hose clamps 90 degrees. But that hose clamp wasn't turned. So what happened was it started rubbing through the fuel line and high pressure fuel.
That was an important 90 degrees.
It was important. Wow. It was, one can say, fatal, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
So that's why I got it. It was owned by one of my friends, Tyler Hoover. And he was just driving. Actually, somebody else was driving, another YouTuber. And he just kind of saw some smoke come back from the back, and then it was just engulfed in a big fire.
And you're like, I love it. It's perfect now.
Well,
you love the smell.
Oh, geez.
One thing that's not conveyed on YouTube.
No. That's horrible. And it gets everywhere. I mean, you just touch it and
you never get rid of that.
No, never get rid of it. So I bought that car and I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I thought like, oh, well, I can rebuild it. And then what happens is when there's a big fire, like a big enough fire, the metallurgy of the metal, like it changes. So the molecules aren't where you left them. So what I had to do is that car is a Spider. I actually bought the back half of a Berlinetta, which is the regular hardtop coupe. I always liked the lines of the Berlinetta. So I said, I could probably graft the back end of that car onto this car because the front end of the car was fine. So then I took the engine apart. The engine's actually okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just all the plastic bits and stuff melted off. But the rest of the stuff, like the timing bolt, was still on there. Wow. So that's fine. I'm not sure if I'm going to put that engine still in there. I'm not sure if I can find something a little more interesting. Maybe like a Lamborghini V10. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
it makes a much nicer table.
Yeah, because at this point, it's not like I'm gonna sell it to the Ferrari purists.
Yeah.
You know, even though I mean this is something that does happen to Ferraris every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess then do something kind of creative with it. But a couple of other recent projects is you a little bit quicker, like your Toyota Supra.
Yes,
and your 3000 GT.
Yes, so I have a 99 3000 GT VR4, and I love the way that car looks, but. It looks like it's more or less contemporary, but it drives like it was built in 1975.
Yeah, they're very heavy.
They're heavy, and they don't want to rev. It feels like at 6,000 RPM, the engine's going to...
Do you just have the four-wheel steering?
The four-wheel steering is awesome.
Yeah, they're very cool, and they kind of needed it, because that thing it feels 100%. Big and heavy. Yeah.
So I bought that car and did a 2,000-mile road rally afterwards, and the car was amazing. Yeah. I loved it. We went from... So we went from Santa Fe to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. They're great touring cars.
They're awesome. But I also did a Toyota Supra that me and my friend Jared did in 4 days. We went from bone stock to this single turbo 2JZ. Like, it'll be good for 700 horsepower. And we didn't sleep for a while.
So you're trying to do SEMA builds all year long.
SEMA's always tomorrow.
Listen, I tell you, we joke about it. We talk about SEMA crunch, like people working a year, 2 years, three years.
Oh, yeah.
Chip Foose probably working half a decade on that Jaguar which is gorgeous.
Oh, that thing is
we don't have
incredible.
Time to build SEMA cars. So when we do bring a car and commit, we're like, it's 60 days out. Let's get this thing going. Boom, boom, boom. And see how far you can get. Yeah. Like the truck we got here, and I think the Mustangs last year were just like, or in 2016, mm-hmm. We've got a couple of months and just do it. Because
when they start putting the signs out on the convention center, like, all right, let's start the build now.
Yeah. We talked about it on one of the earlier shows. The truck out there, I was up 6 in the morning. I was up at 5 working on the truck at 6. Mm-hmm. Finished at 6 at night. Drove it to the shop. Didn't even turn it off. The truck, the trailer was waiting. Charles, our buddy Charles, was there and just drove it in a circle, made a U-turn onto the trailer, locked it down, and he kept going.
Well,
and I was like, that's it.
Well, and Teresa illustrated it earlier. I mean, when I've done for the car companies, whether it's GM or Jaguar or whatever, sometimes it's a new body style.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, yeah, you can have it 45 days out. And we're mm-hmm. like, 45 days, you know?
Yeah. The mold doesn't even dry in 45 days.
Yeah. But, so tell us how the YouTube channel has grown. You guys, almost about a million subscribers?
Yeah. We're probably going to be a million in about, 2 weeks or something. Yeah, so it'll get there. It's grown phenomenally. I'm so, like, super humble. Like, I just walk around and people know me, like, which is weird. It's weird because... In my shop, I am just one guy talking to a camera by myself, but that camera is now connected to, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and then that is, like, realized in a place like this. Yeah. So, the channel has, you know, every episode gets 700,000, maybe a million views, and again, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, if I'm doing something right, that's great, but I'm just... I'm going to drive this till the wheels fall off.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what? You have some projects that you're working on now. The focus has been the Lamborghini and getting it here.
Yeah, he's got some projects.
It's funny because he finishes Lamborghini like 3 days before SEMA.
Oh, yeah.
And he's texting me. He's like, what's up, bro? I'm done. Like, you need any help with your truck?
It's looking good. Yeah, I'm free now.
Yeah. He's like, I'm super bored. And, it was 3 days before SEMA.
I flicked a piece of lint off the interior.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, but then, of course, last minute, like the tires don't fit. And you got to swap that.
Yeah,
it's on the ground. Everything looks good. You start to roll it forward. Everything's rubbing.
You're like, the fender's top.
Did he text you back and said, just forget what I said?
Spring helpers, any blocks?
You have the Ferrari project. You have a couple of other projects, but what else are you looking to get? Or is there anything out there that maybe you haven't said yet that you're ready to say here on Shift and Steer?
Sure, sure. So my SEMA 2020 build has already started, and I'm going to make my own custom supercar. Now
you should see this thing if you haven't seen it.
So I bought, I bought a Lamborghini Countach kit car for $300.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
And what I'm doing with that is I'm taking off the front end.
You overpaid.
I was just going to say, he overpaid.
Yeah, by about $299.
Yeah,
and I'm going to take the front end off of that because that's the only part of the car that looks. Yeah. Okay,
kind of proportional. The rest is weird. Yeah.
Everything past that is just a tragedy.
Yeah.
So,
it's a Fiero.
It's a Fiero. Yes. Yes. Only the best. It's a Fiero GT. I'll have you know. Okay. Yeah. Okay? So 130 horsepower. I hacked off the front end. I threw away the Fiero body. Like we kind of made like this like little death cart that my friend did a burnout in. But I have a chassis from a Superlight SLC. So that is sort of like you can call it a kit car, but it's not based on anything. So it's its own thing. It's more of a component car. Most people put LSs in them. I got one crashed with a 3-rotor Mazda engine in it.
Oh, wow.
With a sequential manual. And it's just this, like this race car thing. But I'm going to throw away that Mazda engine. I'm going to put a Ferrari V8 in it. We're going to do twin turbos. I'm going to keep that sequential manual. I'm going to convert it to a center drive. So like a McLaren. I'm going to do stuff like power brakes, power steering, front lift. Custom interior, going to do LCD gauges, all that stuff. And I'm going to do a custom body, so it's going to have the Countach front end. I'm going to make it into a Countach GT1 concept-ish car. Like I call it like my homemade Lamborghini, even though it's not really Lamborghini. I'll come up with a different name for it, you know, when the time comes. But
now,
you know,
are we going to do plywood or fiberglass body in the back?
Listen, I go to Home Depot Motorsports just like everybody else.
Yeah. When you do the front lift on that, please use hydraulics. I want to see that thing shoot up in the air.
Oh, yes. Boom! Yeah. Yeah, so that's going to be the race car for the road type thing. And what I want to do is for my channel in the next year is adopt the mantra build it better, because This is SEMA, and you see a lot of cars that are SEMA ready or YouTube finished.
Yeah.
There's a lot of frayed edges, man. There's a lot of split ends.
Look, there is a difference. Let's just say that right now, there is a difference between the builders that do this for a long time for a living and a lot of the YouTubers. And we're not picking on the YouTubers; just different type of content. Like you know, Ring Brothers and, and Bobby Alloway. They don't need. You know, they need to build the best car possible for their customer, and there's a budget involved. They're not in front of a camera and trying to produce content or produce even podcasts like this.
Well,
so
I mean, there's guys that build Mustang Fox body cars that they debut here, and then they're still not even on the road.
Right.
No, yeah.
I don't know who that would be, Matt.
Had I let Bobby Alloway do it, it would be great. It would
You owe him $1 million.
It's a different kind of build. It's a different community. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, one of the things I really admire about the YouTube community is, as I've gotten to know the community more in the last year, too, you guys share everything. I mean, it's like you even share cars. You even have pranks where cars go between different shops and different
personalities. I like that. He's like, do you guys share everything, even cars?
Yes. No.
What else are we talking about here?
But it's very cool. I find that it really is a community. You have people from all across the country, but you're all very closely connected, and I love to see that community active.
It's actually interesting that you said that, because my car tomorrow is going to LA. It's driving there with the guys from Daily Driven Exotics.
Yeah.
So they're another big YouTube channel.
Big one,
And what's interesting is that, like, I don't think that we are in competition with each other. No. Like, in a very mechanical sense, we are, because there's only so many eyeballs and so many days, and you know, so many hours in the day. But I think what we can do together, as far as like insights and just like support is the biggest thing. Because if I meet another YouTuber, like, I've met so many on this trip that, like, as soon as you meet them, you're instant friends, because finally someone understands this weird thing I do.
Because, and like, it is a weird thing, especially for us traditionalists. It's a very weird thing. That's
and nobody understands how, like, all right, you have to do a car build, but, like, you can't film this because it's boring, and you're there fidgeting with this bumper trying to get the gaps right, or, you know, you get a ton of comments doing this one thing, and, like, you're burnt out. But, like, they understand it like that. So that's one thing.
It's the people. You look around this building, and there's thousands and thousands of logos and brands.
Right.
But if you've been coming here for 10 years, 20 years, or 100 years, like Brad,
like me,
it's the people.
Years, yeah,
it's
yeah.
You know, there's people that we know here that working at that company, and then now they're at this company and this company, and your relationship goes with them. It doesn't go with that brand, right? So you just keep moving around for your friends in the industry.
And I've got a question, because, you know, I know what you're talking about, you know, working in your garage and like that. How many times is it you do something, you just kind of get into it and you're doing it, and then you go, oh, crap, I have to go back and film that.
So there's ways to mitigate that. I used to do that a lot in the beginning, where it's like you start working on something, like, I'll film it later, and then you get really deep into it, and you're just kind of like halfway in, like, oh man, this is this is probably pretty good content. I've been working at this for 5 hours. But what you do is then you just go back and say, you know, do a little kind of a vlog type thing, and you say, okay, well, here's what I did, and then, you know, people usually forgive that. But if you go from one shot to the next, and then the car is like halfway done, people go, okay, what the hell just happened?
Wait a minute, what happened?
You owe me something.
That's a good point. Owe me something.
I spent the entire day putting the interior together and had to reconfigure things on the door panels and stuff. Got the door panel in, got it all screwed down. I was like, all right, it's not squeaking. I'm like, I forgot to photograph all of it. I was like, I don't want to take that goddamn door panel off.
No, I don't
want to take it off. I was like, forget it. I don't know what I'm going to do at this point. And you can't fake it because you don't want to.
No. The same thing happened with my my Lambo. So the door panels are very hard to get on because they're all custom made. So the leather hasn't really worn in yet. So the leather gives like a little bit of a gap. And those cars are hand built anyway. And hand built just means nothing. So you have to like really like put some muscle into getting the screws in. And I remember I put that in, and then I had no footage of it. And I'm like, well, they're just going to have to live with that.
The only thing worse is like when you get all that work done and then you go, oh, I didn't hook up the switch for the power window.
So that's exactly what I did. So I closed the door, and I realized that the car still thought the door was open. So I'm like, well, that's good.
Oh, man.
It wasn't plugged in. I was Friday before SEMA is the last time you can like kind of work with vendors and get stuff done, and you're pushing it. So, I had some work done on the truck at Galpin Motorsports. They helped me out quite a bit. Galpin Autosports. I picked it up early in the morning from them. I was driving it back, and we got all the audio and stuff built in there, and I realized I knew it. I just forgot it. I don't know why, but the previous owner had stuck like double stick tape to put like a Sirius XM standalone pod unit on the dash, and it was just stuck on the vinyl of the dash. And I was like, I'll just take it off at some point. And by the time I got it off, it's just this gummy stain, and you're trying to use everything you can, and then like you can't use real chemicals on it because it's a vinyl, and
it's just an eyesore at this point.
It's 24 years old, and I was like, I can't bring it to SEMA this way. So I was just like I'm driving the vehicle. I called up the upholstery guy that I used before, who's this fantastic local guy in Venice, this Russian guy, George. I don't think George is his real name, but I was like, George, do you have any more of that suede? We did suede headliner. And he's like, I got maybe 1 yard. I was like, I need a piece of this dash done. And he's like, okay. And I was like, for SEMA. He's like, I knew you were going to say that. And I'm driving the truck, and he's like, you need to send me a photo right away. I'm sitting in traffic on the 405. I can't send him a photo, so I'm driving. I hit video, and as I'm driving, I'm like, George, here's the dash, and I'm scanning the dash with the photo. I was like, I need this piece. It's from here to here.
It's just
and,
bumping along.
Yeah, I send the video, and I said, I'll be there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, you got to be over here by 5 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it done.
I gotta tell you, Matt, Aaron would have handled that a lot easier.
Yeah.
He would have just looked at the hole and he would have gone measured it, and then he would have gone over to one of his things on the wall and like the dancing hula girl or something. He would have just covered up with it, man. It would have just been done.
If it was on the top of the dash.
Oh yeah.
It was kind of on the front of the dash. If it was on top, I would have just stuck my Sammy Hagar bobblehead up there.
There you go.
It would have been problem solved. Sammy with his bottle of Beach Bar rum would have been dancing around the whole time. So, it would have been easy, but it wasn't. It was be Sammy sticking out. His head would just be dragging on the ground the whole time.
So you came on our show so that you could bump to 2 million. We know that.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
When you mentioned Shift and Steer, it's just going to roof, man.
It's like my numbers are going down.
So last day of SEMA, what do you still have to see before you
South Hall, North Hall, and the Renaissance Hotel?
So basically everything. So I had a list of like 15 vendors that I wanted to go, and I've gotten to zero of them because again, it's just, you know, walking around, people recognize you, they want to take pictures, and you don't want to be first of all, the thing I've learned about this, you can never ever ever be rude to people at any point.
Yeah, and it goes on Reddit, and you're just trash.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's just like I met
Tavares at SEMA. What a douche!
What a jerk! What a jerk! We're servants to the public.
Yeah, he was all arrogant. He said, "I've got to get to an appointment," you know.
And no, but you can. So I've learned that you can never say I have to get somewhere. It's always I always ask people like, "Hey, can you just like
that's
pull me aside?
Walk with me. Walk with me.
Yeah. So walk with me is better because the second you stop and then somebody takes a picture of you, then people notice, oh, hey, it's that guy. I know him. I'm going to take a picture with him, too. And then a line forms or something. And again, I'm super humble at that. I will always take a picture with people. But it's just like, it makes getting places a little difficult.
Okay, two hints from people that have been on the show that we know. Ron Capps.
Okay.
Funny car driver, okay?
Yeah.
When he's in the pits, he told me a long time ago, he had all this stuff. We had to walk from one place to another, and he goes, hold on a second. He goes over and he grabs all these boxes and stuff. I go, oh, I can help you carry those. He goes, no. And we're walking through the crowd, and everybody's like, oh, can I have your autograph? And he goes, oh, I'd love to, but, you know. And then,
meet me back in the pit. During the autograph session.
Just super glue a phone on your ear.
And then Barry
that
Weiss.
That doesn't work anymore.
And then, it doesn't.
Ear pods or anything doesn't work anymore.
I was on my phone, and people were like, hey, can I get a picture? I'm like, yeah, exactly. I mean,
No, you were saying Barry Weiss.
And then Barry
Weiss,
he's awesome. We'll be somewhere, like, you know, whatever it is, and he'll just be walking along, and exactly what he says, he's going, they'll go, can I go, yeah, just throw it up there. He never breaks stride, and he's just like, he goes into Barry mode, and he's like,
oh yeah, yeah. You know? The walk and picture is a real good move. That's the move to do. I gotta perfect that.
You gotta trademark
well,
it.
Well, hopefully you get a chance to run around and see some stuff today. There's
I think so.
Definitely some cool stuff. I did meet my goal yesterday. I went over to the new products hall and went
up
and down.
You got farther than I did.
Every single aisle and looked at every single new product up there.
Man.
And I photographed maybe 40% of them. So
that's why you didn't show up for that.
I'm gonna have a pretty big. I did miss
an
appointment this morning as well. So
how much? How many Chinese products are you taking home with you tonight?
Those are all at Apex. Sorry, Apex.
Wow.
No. So if you go to Performance Pavilion, one of my friends, actually a business I'm partnered in, Clarity Coat, across from them is some manufacturer of lights and stuff like that.
The Crate Engine electric motor. Did you see that? It's right across from your car.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Game changer.
You might want to think about that for your supercar project.
Maybe. That'd be cool. But the thing is, they don't make any noise.
Or have any range.
Make your own noise.
So I went to the Miltech booth, and they have the sound box. I'm actually going to go get that at the end of the show.
And then you just get the right sound from Forza, and you just pump it through some speakers.
So, well, the reason why I'm getting that is because, and it kind of ties back to the gas thing. You mentioned gas before. I bought the 99 Dodge Caravan from Pimp My Ride. And one of the mods on that was, it's called a Vroom Box back in like 2005. And you make noises, like you can say, oh, okay, this car sounds like a Ford GT or Aston Martin Vanquish or something like that. But that never took off. But now in SEMA show, thanks to this SEMA magic, I can get that now.
You mentioned Pimp My Rides. Galpin Autosports did that show. Bo Bachman is a friend of ours.
Yes.
And they have the biggest sense of humor about that show more than anybody else.
Yes.
They did the audio install on my truck that's outside. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, guys, I talked to JL Audio. They're on board. They're doing the install. And he goes, oh, we'll call him back and tell him we won't put a fish tank in there for you. Already they're like, JL probably thinks they're doing it. And but they did
but
a
he
great
does
job.
Have a chandelier.
You got to have a sense of humor.
I got
that
candelabra on the hood.
I saw the Galpin guys on the monorail back to my hotel. Apparently they're staying at the same hotel. And I was like, hey.
Seven.
Yeah.
Circus.
That's right. And I was like, hey, are you with gas? They're like, yeah. They're like, I just bought the car from Pimp My Ride. They're like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did. They're like, burn it.
They're actually fantastic.
They they're awesome.
And okay, Bo's got the coolest, wackiest car collection. We've been over there.
Yeah, it's great.
He's got, I think, two of those Lagondas now.
The big, square, wedge-shaped
Aston Martin Lagondas.
And
there
they
will lie. When are you going to build one of those?
Oh, we just got
we got the red light. That means that we're done.
Okay.
See? All right. So plug the YouTube channel again, the website, the social media.
Sure. It's youtube.com/Tavarish, T-A-V-A-R-I-S-H, and Instagram at The Real Tavarish.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course, you guys can check us out. We're at shiftandsteer.com, and all of these podcasts will be on iTunes as soon as we get around to posting them.
Which will be weekly. You believe it or not, we'll actually get them up. But everybody, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
We want to thank our friends at MagnaFlow for giving us this stage all week, all the great guests that carved out time to come by and talk with us. And Matt, where can they find you online?
Check me out at Motorator, and you see pictures of trucks. I'm a truck guy, so. Yeah.
And go to Bradley _Fanshawe and see SEMA stuff. Isn't that amazing? There's going to be SEMA stuff there.
Yeah, actually, Facebook, because we do a lot of Instagram posts, and that's one of my favorite ones for sure, but you can only do 10 images at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook.com/Motorator is going to be huge galleries, Shift and Steer as well, galleries of the cars, and I will post up that gallery of just all the new performance parts, and I try to get the name of the product and the companies in each one. You might need to click on them and zoom on them or save them off and zoom in. But I try to get a tag with every one of them. So if you guys ask, whose part is that? Where do I get that? In the new products booth, they list the name of the company, a description, and the price that they're trying to do. So
and,
it's awesome.
Cool. And for those of you that still have a flip phone like me,
Leno got an iPhone.
He did?
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because he had a flip phone for, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get one of those someday.
He must have got it as a gift.
No, you can go to shiftandsteer.com, as Matt said, and we will repost a lot of these galleries so you can go there and find them for those of you who want to see them on the big screen. Aaron, where can they find you, buddy?
I've been catching up on mine, too. Is Aaron Hagar everywhere and The Rat Runner's Garage on the web.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Hey, another SEMA in the books. Thank you, everybody.
Woo! If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.